back to the Mike Malloy Show. Brad Friedman once again of bradblog.com in for the vacationing Mike Malloy all this week, broadcasting from the lovely studios of K-Talk AM 1150. You can call us throughout the hour, 877-520-1150. Oh, yeah, happy birthday, Mom. I have to keep repeating that just in case she's listening. If you'd like to talk about anything we're chatting about for the next couple of hours, or you'd like to wish my mother a happy birthday, call us, 877-520-1150. Bev Harris is going to join us momentarily from blackboxvoting.org. To discuss a rather troubling development, an incredibly troubling development, frankly, in the election world. But, well, I should just remind you, when it comes to calling into radio shows, these are your public airwaves. Use them or lose them. And, oh, yeah, psst, you've already lost them. Yeah. And when it comes to elections, yeah, you've already lost those. Glenn writes in the chat room over at bradblog.com, and you can jump in over there if you want to talk to Glenn. He says, socialism takes many individual freedoms away via state controls and dictates, often via noble motives, but it destroys individualism. Glenn wrote that to us on the internet, the socialist internet, undoubtedly using the socialist electric system, which he probably is enjoying since he drove home on the socialist roads. These guys just don't get it, do they? All right, let me get over to Bev. Here we go. Bev Harris of blackboxvoting.org, the founder of the nonpartisan election watchdog organization. Oh, Bev, welcome to the show.
Well, it's always nice to talk to you, Brad.
Well, it's always nice to talk to you, except it seems like whenever I talk to you, it's because something terrible is going on. And in this case, well, I'll just give folks, well, let me give them the good news, and then I'll let you give them the bad news. The good news is Diebold Election System, the maker of crappy electronic voting systems that have been hacked in one state after another, that don't allow any citizen to actually verify that the votes have been counted correctly, that drop ballots without warning. Diebold Election System is essentially no more. That's the good news. And now for the bad news, Bev, what's the bad news?
You know, the reason that Diebold is not going to continue is because they have been acquired by another company, which may be even worse. Regardless of which company is the worst, which is, would be quite a contest, Election Systems and Software is more privately than Diebold even, because we don't even know exactly who the owners are. It's a very small little group of guys that own this company. It makes the Ivotronics, which melted down in Sarasota, Florida. Mm-hmm. And it has purchased Diebold, and what this means, and I recommend people go to blackboxvoting.org to see the map of what this means. Basically, what this is a takeover of the whole U.S. system under one handful of guys. There are a couple of small competitors. One of them is Sequoia, which is foreign-owned. It was owned by some Venezuelans, and then I guess now the ownership is in Antilles somewhere. No one quite knows who owns it either.
Oh, yeah.
It's kind of, you know, really on the ropes, and as I understand it, it's so on the ropes it doesn't even have the wherewithal to oppose this merger, even though it's going to probably be wiped out.
That's Sequoia you're talking about, right?
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Well, Sequoia is, in fact, still tied to that Venezuelan firm that's tied to Hugo Chavez. They are now, I guess, the second competitor to Election Systems and Software, Inc. We call them ESNS.
Right.
But they're dwarfed. But they were dwarfed ESNS before this Diebold purchase. Now we're talking, what, something like 120 million votes will be counted by ESNS, this private company?
Oh, Oh, yeah. Now, there's basically four competitors. When you look at the map, the graphic on our webpage, which really brings it home, you see a lot of other little kind of random, you know, things here and there. But here's what we need to remember about any other companies but the big four. There are a series of certifications and new standards coming out. They aren't up to snuff on those standards. Most of them don't have the money to develop new product to get up to snuff, so they're going to be out of the way. So we're really essentially looking at four companies. One is foreign-owned. The three companies.
Three companies, that's right.
Becoming three. Now, the market share for the ESNS, what it will be, if and when it acquires Diebold, if it does not block by the antitrust actions, will be about three-quarters of the jurisdictions in America, and about three-quarters of the vote.
Yeah, I'm looking at this map now that you made. It's a great map over at blackboxvoting.org. You show before and after this acquisition of Diebold. There was some variety across the country before with this acquisition. The country is now, and I don't know if you chose this color on purpose, but almost entirely red, where ESNS is running our public elections, this private company that has failed. And you mentioned people may not know what you meant by the iVotronics in Sarasota. Those are the touch screens that they put out. They also put out optical scan systems that similarly don't work, but their touch screens dropped in just that one election alone in 2006 down in Sarasota County. 18,000 votes disappeared, and nobody to this day has been able to explain what happened to those votes in a race that was decided by 369 votes. 18,000 votes gone, race decided for the Republican, a U.S. House race, by 369 votes, and that's one issue with ESNS.
Yeah.
I mean, they have had problems everywhere.
Yeah. To see even more, I mean, this has been going on since 1990s. I have my book, Voting Online, for free. If you scroll down to the right-hand column at blackboxvoting.org and download Chapter 2, it gives you a litany with citations of ESNS failures, where the machines did, you know, everything from flip votes to, you know, put all the straight votes in the wrong bailiwick. In one case in Iowa, there were 300 votes, and it claimed there were 4 million. I mean, this company, when it screws up, it can screw up really royally.
Big time, man. Pottawatomie County, Iowa. I don't know if that's the same one you're talking about. In a Republican primary in 2006, they had to recount something like 8 or 9 of the races by hand, and these were opticals, and these were paper ballot races, but they trusted them to these op scan machines. They had to recount some 8 or 9 results changed because, guess what? The machines didn't work. The programming was wrong. That's ESNS, and Bev, I'm sure you can agree here. You've got the documentation at blackboxvoting.org. I've got it at bradblog.com. VotersUnite.org also has it. You can look up the database of all the problems with ESNS. Problems all over the country. Thuggish behavior, by the way, where this company has come into jurisdictions and said, okay, here's our voting machines. They're cheap. You can afford them. We'll work out the prices and the maintenance contracts later. And then they come in like the mafia once these election officials are hooked on this e-voting drug, and they say, okay, now you're going to pay us through the nose if you want to continue using these machines you have come to rely on.
And not only come to rely on, but the law, you know, requires that you have an election. So here you are 8 weeks before the election. You don't have the option of saying, I think I'll go shopping. And now in the state of New Mexico, the entire state was looking at getting rid of ESNS machines because they were jacking up the fees on these maintenance agreements, and the counties couldn't afford it. They were thinking of going to, guess what, the company that ESNS has now purchased. What people don't realize, even though this company is buying a company that we all agree makes crappy machines, the Diebold Premier Election Systems machines, the problem with a monopoly when you have one company basically gaining control of the market, it affects suppliers. All of a sudden, they got a chokehold on their suppliers, and they can say, you print our ballots exactly the way we want, buy only the people we want, that's the way it is, take it or leave it. The same with your service technicians, the same with your parts. It tends to reduce quality and raise prices, which is the reason that monopolies are illegal.
And make no mistake about it, these public elections have been corporatized from top to bottom. Our friend Ellen Tyson over at VotersUnite.org put out a report on this and said straight up, if these companies were to go out of business tomorrow, we would not be able to hold elections in these United States of America. We're speaking with Bev Harris of BlackBoxVoting.org. We're going to take a quick break, come back with Bev for one more segment, and then your calls, 877-520-1150. Go on over to blackboxvoting.org. There's a link right at the top of the page where you can sign up to oppose the ESNS-Diebold merger by filing a complaint with the DOJ, an antitrust complaint. And when you take a look at this map and you see how the entire country, every election virtually in the country, is going to be owned, run, programmed, counted by one company by the name of ESNS, I think you'll want to join that effort. If you don't want to join, I don't know what the hell is wrong with you. You got to take your country back. Ain't nobody else going to do it for you. Stand up, people. Get to work. Brad Friedman in for Mike Malloy. More with Bev Harris. And, Desi Doyen's coming up with the Green News. And later on, a big gay hour. You don't want to miss it. Stick with us. Does matter. Keep it rolling. There you go. It is worth fighting for. We will fight for it here on the Mike Malloy program. Brad Friedman in for Mike Malloy. And you know what? You can't wait out. Well, you can't wait until it's a week or two before an election to start worrying about election reform. We are speaking with she's been on hold the whole time. Okay, we're speaking with Bev Harris of BlackBoxVoting.org about the takeover of Diebold by ESNS. ESNS is the largest voting election machine company in the world, certainly in the nation, and now they're a hell of a lot larger because they've gotten away with their only substantive competition was Diebold. They've now swallowed them up. One company is going to be counting something like 120 million votes. I think it's outrageous. Bev Harris, you filed an antitrust complaint, and this is something that anybody can file with the DOJ?
Right. We are filing one, and not only that, but we will have a template available, and we will encourage others to file. Now, those of the listeners who are our attorneys will, route them to some citations and some figures and so forth so they can make it, just their very own in their own special style. But for regular citizens like you and I, everybody can file these complaints. There's two organizations that really have to approve this merger. One is the Department of Justice, and one is the Federal Trade Commission.
Right.
So, and as far as from my reading of it, it violates the Clayton Act, which is an antitrust act, because it basically sets up an anti-competitive environment. There's a bunch of specific numbers that you need to quote in order to do that. And, of course, the big challenge to the DOJ, and probably the reason ESNS thought they could get by with this, is it's fairly difficult to find out what the market share is and what's in each market. It, it took about 3 days to actually map out all 4,500 jurisdictions. But there's no question that ESNS will go from about a 35% market share to about a 75% market share, which is way over the indexes, which also, by the way, look at how many viable competitors there are. Well, two doesn't cut it, especially those two are really, particularly Sequoia, is really on the ropes.
Let me see if I can get in a quick call here, a call or two here, Bev, if I can. Charlotte is calling from Columbus, Ohio. Welcome to the Molloy Show. What's up, Charlotte?
Hi. Thanks for your filling in for Mike.
My pleasure. And I've only got a minute or two here, so if we can get right to your question,
I believe that when Diebold started to be an ugly word, that some of the people spun off from there and formed ES&S.
All right. Thanks for that call, Charlotte. The Yurosevich brothers, can you give us the 30-second version of that, Bev Harris?
Oh, yeah. Actually, the two brothers named Yurosevich founded ES&S, and one split off and, when ES&S started getting a bad name and went to Global Election Systems, which became Diebold. There's a whole long story in behind that. But, you know, her point is correct. It's going to be one big inbred group of people who work here and then work there. I want to say a couple quick points. One is at the website, blackboxvoting.org, gives you that link to click. You'll get a little toolkit, really simple. You can either just do the very simple thing of filling out a template and sending it off, or, you know, you can, it'll show you kind of the ins and outs, and you can make it more creative if you want. It will really help for the Department of Justice to see that this is something that we really have a concern with.
Yeah, and
I'd like to point out that ES&S does something worse than Diebold, and that is that all of the little memory cards that are posted all over the country, ES&S programs those things in Omaha. In other words, it's not your local election official even programming that thing to conceal the count.
Yeah.
It is a company in Omaha sending it in house.
As far as I'm concerned,
coming out of Omaha.
As far as I'm concerned, 75% running 75% of the elections, they shouldn't be running 1%. These should be public options, if you will, running our public elections. Let me see if John in Grand Rapids can ask his question in 10 seconds. John, go.
Real quick, I was just flummoxed that they didn't even appoint an election czar when all these czars were being appointed, like Jimmy Carter. We'd send him off for credibility in other countries. We needed an election czar at the beginning of this administration.
That sounds like an oxymoron. John, that sounds like an oxymoron to me, a democracy czar. Bev, you want to hit it in 10 seconds, literally, because I got to get out.
Well, I think we don't want to centralize control and end in one set of hands. We want the public involved in public elections.
Sounds good to me. Blackboxvoting.org. Check it out. Bev Harris, sign up. Join the antitrust complaint. Thanks, Bev, for your work there. You bet. Desi Doyen and Green News coming up. Brad on The Molloy Show. Not scared at all. Keep it rolling, brother.
Clowns to the left of me.
Yep.
Jokers to the right. Here I am, stuck in the middle with you.
Stuck in the middle, no place I would rather be. Here on the Mike Molloy Show, Brad Friedman in for Brad Blog, in for Mike, the guy from BradBlog.com. There we go. Got it right. Thank you. I know where I'm from. Hey, D-Uers, Truth Seekers, forgot to say hello to you tonight. Always good to see you in fine fettle over at DU. They are fighting it out with Glenn, this guy who proudly calls himself Glenn, over on the chat room at bradblog.com. If you've never been there, go to bradblog.com. The very first item where we run down today's Mike Molloy program, click the click here for more button, and you'll be in the chat room. And go ahead, have your say, and edumacate that Glenn fellow a little bit. Be nice, be polite, but sounds like someone's starving for facts. We're going to have Desi Doyen and the Green News Report here very shortly. I did have a... What happened? Oh, I lost... Lynette's got it also up in Los Angeles. Lynette, very quickly, welcome to the Mike Molloy program.
Hi, Brad.
Brad, yeah, that's
me. First-time caller. I have two things.
All right.
One, the Supreme Court is going to be hearing a case about corporate free speech.
Yep.
And, of course, it's going to make the difference between if Exxon spent 1% of its profits to fund whatever they want to say, it would absolutely outspend Obama and McCain.
This is a huge case. It's a huge case tomorrow. Hang on, Lynette. Hang on, Lynette.
On Thursday at the Reagan Building at 4 o'clock. Everyone, UTLA, Community Coalition, can I leave their phone number?
You better not leave a phone number, but where is it? Up in? Give us a website. You got one, Lynette?
I don't have a website. I have a phone number for Community Coalition, and it's going to be at the Ronald Reagan Building at 4 o'clock this Thursday. It's about time for big change.
All right. Thanks for the call, Lynette. Yeah, that's a big case that's being heard tomorrow. Really flying under the radar, frankly. It's going to change the way the corporations, who apparently aren't able to give enough money right now to candidates, they're going to be able to give unlimited dollars directly to candidates. No reason to even fool folks with these PACs and this soft money anymore. They'll just be able to give it straight to them. This is judicial activism, and this is what your right-wing Supreme Court wanted to hear. They actually wanted to have this case before them. And I suspect we'll be talking about it in the weeks, months, and perhaps years ahead. Hey, Des.
Hey.
How are you? Are you ready for some the Green News Report here?
Yeah.
All right. Desi Doyen joins us. She's my co-host on the Green News Report, heard on many fine radio stations, progressive and otherwise. And if the Green News Report is not heard on your progressive station, it's just 6 minutes. They play it at the top of the hour in many radio stations. It's quite delightful, funny, informative, newsy. And should we play it here and then come back and discuss?
Yeah, that would be great.
All right. Were you happy with today's episode, by the way, of the Green News Report?
Yes, happy with it. And we'll have a chance to have everybody else be
happy
with it.
You haven't listened to it since you recorded it, have you? You have no idea. All right. We'll find out now. Here's today's Green News Report with myself and Desi Doyen. Bring it on, Tony.
It's Tuesday, September 8, 2009.
The rising cost of fighting fires. Jaws is back. Back to school with swine flu. Plus,
if we have the opportunity to fight both poverty and pollution by putting people to work in these new industries, we would be wise as a country to do that. That is common ground.
An advocate for green jobs loses his own.
And America loses a great public servant. I'm Brad Friedman of BradBlog.com.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this is your Green News Report. Okay, it's a very sad week, frankly, for Americans and their opportunities when it comes to green jobs, the environment, poverty. We will get to that in a minute. First, the Green News headlines, Desi Doyen.
The station fire, the largest in Los Angeles County history, is, as of today, nearly 60% contained, with full containment expected sometime next week. In the 2 weeks the fire has ravaged the Angeles National Forest, it spread over 250 square miles. 78 homes were destroyed, and two veteran firefighters lost their lives. Arson is suspected, with the state offering $100,000 reward for information leading to an arrest. California spent over $40 million. That's over 60% of its annual firefighting budget on several fires around the state in just the first month of the fire season. Federal funds from FEMA will likely offset most of the cost to the state, since the station fire is located on federal lands. The frequency of big wildfires is predicted to increase, along with the costs of fighting them, in coming decades as global warming further exacerbates drought, reduces snowpack, and brings on earlier snowmelts that are increasingly drying out the West.
By the way, Desi, I did not notice any of the wingnuts on Fox News complaining about the socialized firefighting that was going on in our socialized national forests out here in California.
That's right. Representative Adam Schiff, who is a Southern California congressional representative, mentioned that there were no complaints at town halls about the socialized firefighting system that is saving people's homes.
How odd.
Jaws is back.
You yell barracuda. Everybody says, huh? What? You yell shark. We've got a panic on our hands on the 4th of July.
A report of several great white sharks lurking off the coast of Cape Cod has caused quite a stir. The great whites are rare in the frigid waters off the New England coast, but official reaction today shows how much times have changed. Back in the 80s, a big shark hunt might have been launched, like that in the movie Jaws, but instead of killing the animals just for being in the wrong place at the wrong time, officials are treating the event as a rare research opportunity. Great white sharks are an extremely elusive species. Only one great white shark in history has ever been successfully tagged in the Atlantic. Until now. So far, marine biologists have successfully tagged two sharks with satellite tracking devices. The great white shark, like all predators in our oceans, are in steep decline due to human activities. But some things haven't changed, though. Some local businesses and residents were angry that officials closed several Cape Cod beaches to swimmers over the big Labor Day weekend.
Over the big Labor Day weekend, just like the movie Jaws.
That's funny how that works.
Yeah, but this time they actually closed them.
Perhaps yes, they
did. Learned their lesson.
In keeping with warnings from the Obama administration for citizens to be aware of a resurgence in this fall of the flu virus H1N1, commonly known as swine flu, now it appears that 2,000 students at Washington State University have contracted the virus in the first week of school, the largest outbreak on any college campus in the nation. The university says that most of the cases are moderate to mild and no students have been hospitalized, but the effort is straining health services on campus. Public health experts are warning hospitals and medical facilities around the country to prepare for a potential crush of cases this fall.
And let me clarify, 2,000 students complaining of swine flu-like symptoms. They don't necessarily have the swine flu at this time.
Yes, officials are treating them as if they do, since many of them have tested positive.
The values that underlie this clean energy conversation, which we don't speak to directly enough, are the common ground values of America.
That was now former Special Advisor to the White House Council on Environmental Quality, Van Jones, speaking about common ground among all Americans at last month's National Clean Energy Summit in Las Vegas. Jones resigned over the weekend after right-wing media outlets launched a concerted attack led by right-wing TV and talk radio host Glenn Beck. Van Jones is the founder of the nonprofit Green for All, advocating for green jobs training for inner city kids, and the author of the bestseller, The Green Collar Economy, promoting an entrepreneurial approach to a clean energy economy with green jobs that can't be outsourced overseas. Although Jones apologized for his past statements, the attacks may be in retaliation for a boycott recently launched by the nonprofit group Color of Change.
Maybe.
Social justice organization co-founded by Jones, but that he has since left. Color of Change has convinced over 50 major advertisers to drop support of Glenn Beck's show in the last month after Glenn Beck made statements calling President Obama a racist, among other things.
Make no mistake, this is a high-tech lynching. This is political terrorism. This is McCarthyism. This is the Fox News thought police, and it has cost this country, as far as I'm concerned, a great public servant who was fighting for eco-capitalism and putting together some extraordinary ideas with some extraordinary people. It's a shameful moment both for the right wing and for the Obama administration, as far as I'm concerned.
But don't take our word for it. Decide for yourself. Check out our roundup of the analysis on our website at greennews.bradblog.com.
We'll leave you with a couple more words from the now former Green Jobs Advisor Van Jones. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report.
This is our opportunity as a country, and it comes along very rarely, to take the people who most need work and connect them to the work that most needs to be done to fight pollution and poverty at the same time and be one country. Let's be one country. Thank you very much.
All right, well, that was our Green News for today. And, of course, heard on stations around the country. And if it's not heard on yours, well, call them and tell them you want to hear it. Because we try to stick to the news that matters and not the crap you hear on, too many news broadcasts and radio stations. Des, nice job today.
Well, thanks.
So we're looking at cap and trade. This green legislation, the climate change legislation, was supposed to be, is already passed in the House. That's the Waxman-Markey bill. It was supposed to be passed in, well, introduced in the Senate this week.
Right. Something Senator Barbara happened, Boxer though, right? And Senator John Kerry both had initially planned that they were going to introduce the Senate version of the American Clean Energy and Security Act. It's no longer Waxman-Markey now that it's in the Senate. So it's ACES, A-C-E-S, American Clean Energy and Security Act.
They were going to announce that.
I like that. It's called ACES?
ACES, for short. Were going to announce that today, to introduce that today, but they decided to postpone it about 3 weeks ago.
Why? Did something come up?
There were a couple of things that came up. They said, first of all, they didn't want it to get stomped on by the health care debate, and also Senator Kerry had hip surgery. Good thing he's got health insurance through the Congress. And so, you know, and Senator Boxer also had mentioned in a couple of media reports that she wanted to make sure that they had covered all the bases and done everything they could to lay the groundwork so that when they roll this out, not only do they introduce the bill, but they also have their strategy for the expected backlash from the Republicans, because obviously the Republicans are against anything. So.
Yes, and good luck with getting that strategy. By the way, Kerry doesn't only have health insurance via the Congress. He also has the socialized health care because he's a veteran. So from the Veterans Administration service, he's enjoying that socialized health care.
Indeed, he does.
That our troops enjoy. We don't, but the troops do because they deserve the best, as William Crystal said.
Yes.
So they get the best with socialized health care, but not us. Anyway, the effort during the summer to do to these town halls what they did with the health care, there was an effort by the coal company, by the petroleum companies.
Basically, all the fossil fuel companies were doing, basically taking a page out of the
to game the town hall. Yeah, was it successful? Did it work?
It does not seem to have been to have worked, because a recent Washington Post ABC poll showed that most Americans, a majority of Americans, are in favor of cap and trade legislation. You know, a lot of them don't exactly know what it means, but they are in favor of clean energy legislation, climate legislation, and the Obama administration's approach and handling of clean energy legislation. So the AstroTurf groups that are out there, there was a memo that was put out by the American Petroleum Institute, an internal memo where they said, let's bus our employees down to these rallies around the country in August, which they have done, and but people don't seem to be falling for it. They seem to be pretty clear that this is all AstroTurfing.
That's because they haven't gotten started yet.
It's not easy being green.
Anyway, that's our Green News Report the Green News Report Live Extra. Thanks to you, Desi. Thanks for coming in for chatting about that. We'll see you again on Thursday with some more Green News.
Yep.
No doubt. Well done.
There's always more to talk about.
Damn it. There sure is. All right. Thanks. All right. Brad Friedman in from Malloy coming back with your calls. Oh, a couple of people dropped their calls. Hey, we're about to go on the air. Give us a call, 877-520-1150. And we'll get you right after this break.
And green can be cool and friendly-like.
Taking a slow ride across the country, coast to coast, and around the globe with the Mike Malloy Program. Brad Friedman in for Mike Malloy. Oh, it's hopping over there at the bradblog.com chat room. You'll have fun over there. Give our best to Agent 99, and let me thank her right now for hosting the chat room, because I'll probably forget at the end of the show, like I always do. Taking your calls, 877-520-1150. Next hour, the big gay hour with some big breaking news from Mike Rogers of Page One Q. If you don't know Mike, he's the guy who, let's see, he outed Larry Craig. He outed Mark Foley. He doesn't like to call it outing. He calls it reporting. I concur. Anyway, let's get to some calls here before we run out of time, and then we have the big gay hour. And you can call us then, too. Okay, let's see. Stuart in Los Angeles. Martin, I'll get to you in a second. Hang on. Yeah, Stuart, welcome to the show. What's up?
Hey, Brett, great job.
Thank you.
About Van Jones, you know, when I remember when Rummy tried to retire, Bush wouldn't let him.
That's right. He
you
didn't.
Know, I just saw, you know, can't we do something? I mean, you know, bad enough we got Timothy Geithner instead of... Paul Krugman. You know, we got Van Jones, a really good environmental guy.
Yep.
And Hilda Solis better watch out, because I think she's pretty clean, but she's very pro-labor. I mean, We got to stop these right wingers.
Well, they're going to come at whoever they can, and if you buckle, if you bend, they smell blood in the water right now. We played the Jaws theme during the Green News Report. There's going to be more. These guys do have to stand up. I completely agree with you. Thanks for that call, Stuart. Let me get down to Martin in Indianapolis, Indiana. Welcome to the Mike Malloy Show, Martin.
Good evening, Brian.
Good evening.
Let me just preface my observations by saying I am very cynical about politicians. I don't care which party they're from.
Okay. I can't understand why you would be, Martin.
I grew up in England, and my favorite graffiti as a kid was the line that said, "It doesn't matter who you vote for, son, government always wins." So the government implying for most of human history the machinations of a very small, greedy, ambitious minority who are looking how to exploit everybody else.
Yep.
And, you know, being English, I know all about divide and rule. And Hegel brought this, and I'm making a point here, but please be patient with me. Hegel.
I can't be patient because I got to get to the end of the hour, Martin, so you got to have to wrap it up.
Okay.
Sorry.
So Hegel made the point that the best way to do this is you control the opposition, thesis, antithesis, and synthesis. And democracy is the perfect way. And I would suggest that it's not that the Democrats today are spineless, so they didn't stand up for Van Jones, or they're naive, so that they put the wolves to look after the sheep, for instance, Geithner and others, or they drop the ball because they're innocent, they don't know what they're doing. I would say they are very calculated, know exactly what they're doing. The job of the Democratic Party is to give the appearance of a choice.
You are cynical, Martin, and I got to go. Thanks for your call. I'm not sure I'm quite as cynical as Martin there that it's the appearance to give the appearance of a choice. I think they believe they're different. I really do. I just think they don't know how to stand up for that difference. And we need to help them understand they need to be different. We're counting on them. Mark in Cleveland, very quickly, welcome to the Malloy Show.
I've done a lot of work for President Obama throughout the campaign and now with Organizing for America for the healthcare reform. My question to you really is, even though we're so disappointed, you know, the progressive movement, and we have reason to be, how do we turn our backs on this president when he's under such attack?
We don't turn our backs. We demand that he does the right thing. How's that work, Mark?
Yeah, I mean, we do have to demand it.
And we don't roll over and we say, he's a Democrat, we got to support him no matter what. No, we say, forget it, we voted you in, and when I say we, I don't mean me because I didn't vote for it, but you were voted in to do these things, now do it, damn it, or we will go elsewhere. Does that make sense, Mark? We got to stop making excuses for these guys. He's not playing super-duper double-dare-you three-dimensional chess. He said, make me do it. Let's make him do it, Mark.
Yeah, we continue to try.
We are going to...
We're going to be disappointed here and there, and I just can't turn my back on him.
Do or do not, there is no try, said Yoda. We will do it. We will raise hell. We'll make sure they get it and get it right. Or die trying. Brad Friedman in for Malloy. Big gay hour coming up next. Don't miss it.